Thank you. First, let me thank Professor Durham and the members of the Center of Law and Religion Studies for inviting me to this symposium. I am especially grateful to the individuals Keith Thompson and my very good brother right there, you know, for the interactions we've had over the couple of months since I got to know the center. I am also going to be speaking on religious democracy, but I'm speaking from the perspective of Liberia's religious democracy and hidden conflicts in this democracy that we have in Liberia. And I thought to speak on this topic because there's great pretense in Liberia in terms of religious harmony, but yet there is a deeply rooted division in our religious democracy. This topic is relevant for me because now where I sit, I see a lot in terms of what we're doing with respect to revision of our constitution and the laws of the country, especially since we do not have any enabling statute that discusses the constitutional provision on religious democracy. I also want to be thankful because this is an eye-opener for me with respect to the Mormon faith, which I didn't know much about, and I've gotten to know so much about in just a short time. Let me first begin by discussing a little bit about Liberia in terms of its background. That is a brief history of Liberia. Liberia is the oldest independent republic in Africa. It was actually founded in 1822 as the colony of Liberia and later the Commonwealth of Liberia. The country gained its independence from the American Colonization Society, the ACS, on July 26, 1847. It is situated on the west coast of Africa and is bordered by the republics of Guinea, Ivory Coast, and Sierra Leone, and the Atlantic Ocean. Liberia occupies an area of approximately 43,000 square miles, which is occupied by an estimated population of 3.5 million people. Its growth rate is 2.1%. Liberia is the first African country to elect a female president in the person of Mrs. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who is now serving her second and final six-year term. The ACS was a philanthropic organization established in the United States of America to repatriate and resettle former Negro slaves in Africa. It comprised pastors, Christians, and other humanitarians determined to abolish slave trade and to restore the dignity to their fellow human beings. Thus, the country was named Liberia to connote liberty. Those repatriated were generally referred to as the settlers. Liberia has had two constitutions as a republic: the 1847 Constitution and the 1986 Constitution. The 1986 Constitution abrogated the first Constitution through the instrumentality of the military regime that governed the country from April 12, 1980 to January 5, 1986. But accompanying the 1847 Constitution was the Declaration of Independence, which pronounced the severance of political relationship with the ACS that indirectly controlled the country from 1822 to 1847. This document, which I am now presenting, also emphasizes, Declaration of Independence, emphasized the settlers' recognition of a Christian God in whose name, as their common creator, they appealed to the nations of Christendom to accept the declaration of their independence and recognize the country as a sovereign state. Although the 1847 Constitution was not so clear on the subject of state religion, it also recognized Christianity as the primary religion of the country. Additionally, the Supreme Court of Liberia seemed to support the Constitution on the one hand, while on the other, established that neither does Liberia maintain any state religion nor places one religion over the other. The 1986 Constitution expressly neutralized this position taken by the framers of the earlier Constitution. In the wake of these developments, there have been numerous interactions between Christians and members of other faiths, including Islamists and animists. This paper reviews some of these interactions, sometimes cordial and other times hostile. I begin by discussing the laws on religion in Liberia. Liberia has two major religions, as I said previously, Christianity and Islam. A third, but now declining group, is what may be termed the traditionalist. And Prof spoke about that a little bit. According to the constitution and laws of Liberia, there is no state religion. Article 14 of our current constitution specifies that. At least 133 years after independence, however, Christianity was a recognized religion under the 1847 Constitution. Additionally, the Declaration of Independence, which today remains a standing legal instrument of the country, provided, among others, that the settlers relied upon the protection of the great arbiter of human events, meaning God, to declare independence, and that the light of Christianity has gone forth from them to the native Africans. On the basis of these provisions in the 1847 Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, there exists today the argument that Liberia was built on Christian principles. This argument cannot be said to be without reason. One wonders why the framers of the Constitution and the people themselves who adopted it in a referendum deliberately agreed to treat all Christian sects equally rather than all religious groups equally. Could this have been an oversight or a mistake? I hesitate to excuse our forefathers on this score, for the very Constitution recognized the right of everyone to freely practice his religion. This right, therefore, allowed the coexistence of various religious groups in Liberia, the practitioners of each living alongside the other without any history of religious conflict or religious war. Nonetheless, this recognition of one religious group over the others seemed discriminatory, as evidenced by a subsequent opinion of the Supreme Court of Liberia for Inquilo versus Providence Concrete Works, also in Center for Law and Human Rights Education versus Monrovia City Corporation. These are two cases and landmark cases in Liberia that speak of religious rights and the state not having any state religion. Thus, while the 1847 Constitution proscribed the discrimination between Christian sects but seemed to place Christianity over other religions, the court decided otherwise. Could it be that the court deliberately rejected the mandate of the Constitution, or that it interpreted this provision in view of the Constitution's guarantee that everyone had a right to practice his religion without disturbance? The latter might be the court's reliance. In short, it is inarguable that there existed in the 1847 Constitution a religious conflict insofar as the law provided. In 1980, the Liberian army seized state power and installed a military government. One of the major actions of that government was the immediate suspension of the 1847 Constitution. Subsequently, in 1983, the government undertook the drafting of a new constitution, which was completed by 1984, adopted by the people in a referendum and given effect on January 6, 1986. In addition to abrogating the 1847 Constitution in Article 95, in terms of religion, the 1986 Constitution expressly disallows the creation or even recognition of any state religion. Moreover, it guarantees protection by the law of individuals who practice their religion peaceably. More emphatically, this article provides, consistent with the principle of separation of religion and state, the Republic shall establish no state religion. On this score, Liberia may be described as a religious but non-denominational country, even though it is generally perceived as a secular country. Nonetheless, one feature certainly remains throughout the country's history, that is, it was established and has always been a religiously democratic country by law, where everyone is free to practice his or her religion according to his or her beliefs, once the practitioner did not disturb others in the practice of such religion. The relations between religious groups in Liberia. Religion has had its place in Liberia's involvement. Today, there is greater tolerance for differences in religious beliefs and practices than have previously been the case. For example, prior to the Liberian Civil War of 1989 to 2003, Islam was not as prominent in state matters as it is today. National programs were commenced and concluded according to Christian rites. Christian prelates were the religious leaders in state institutions. All of the presidents and even presidential candidates were Christians or of Christian origin. Although there has not been any Islamic or other religious group occupying the presidency, there have been several non-Christian candidates over the last 15 years. This development signals an elevation in the perception that members of various religious groups now have for each other. For example, state institutions such as the Supreme Court of Liberia now have both Christians and Islamic prelates in their religious departments. Christians and Islamic prayers are deliberately included in national ceremonies or programs. Members of both religions stand out amongst the leading elements of state authority. Additionally, and most commendable, is the fact that Liberia has developed a culture of religious collaboration and cooperation in resolving state crises. The Interfaith Council, principally comprising Christians and Muslims, is instructive of this collaboration, cooperation, and religious tolerance. In the process of resolving Liberia's civil war, the Interfaith Religious Council was a driving force. Christians and Muslims united under the banner of this organization to negotiate peace between the warring groups. They formed cogent part of the parties that crafted peace plans for the country and up to today have remained instrumental in resolving all sorts of conflicts, including differences between political parties and the government and its oppositions. The point I make here is that religious disparities are certainly a part of the existence of any nation, but should not be barriers for peaceful coexistence. While Christians and Muslims believers have continued to develop closer ties in Liberia's religious and socio-political cycle, there still is the problem of recognizing the fact that there are traditional, customary religious beliefs, what some refer to as idol worship or animism. In Liberia, a person engaged in traditional or customary religious practice is generally perceived as uncivilized, as barbaric, as one who is lost. Thus, Liberians' idea of religion is the act of belonging to one of the two religious groups generally recognized in the country, that is, Christianity or Islam. Again, this is a hidden religious conflict that must be resolved to eliminate discriminating against people in these third and other categories of religious groups in Liberia. Even amongst particular religious groups, there are hidden conflicts. In Liberia's Christian setting, for example, there are numerous sects. The Holy Ghost movements consider themselves as the true Bible-believing churches and other believers as not truly born again. For example, a member of the Catholic faith may, on the surface, be allowed to lead born-again Christians in prayer. That Catholic is truly not considered a Christian or a person who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. Consequently, in many instances, born-again Christians make advances, sometimes offensive, to members of what they describe as half-Christians, to join their sects and be saved. This, too, is a hidden religious conflict that has the potential to create unwarranted disharmony in the society. Let me conclude on this article. It presents a simple message to the people and others who desire to know more about Liberia's religious life. Liberia was established not only as a constitutional state or on legal principles, but also on a firm religious basis. In furtherance of its religious life, political democracy coexists with religious democracy, where, when compared with each other, one will easily deduce that religious democracy in Liberia is not as conflicted as political democracy. This is evident by the fact that since Liberia was established in 1822, and since its involvement as a republic under the 1847 Constitution, there has never been any religious war. Rather, wars have started in Liberia on political grounds, even though multi-party democracy is guaranteed by the current constitution, as was the case with the previous 1847 Constitution. Could Liberia be a role model for religious tolerance and religious democracy for the world? A further analysis of the question and the current situation in Liberia may provide an answer. Once again, let me thank Professor Durham and all the organizers of this symposium for giving Liberia this opportunity to be a part of this process. We are very grateful, and I assure you we've learned a lot. Thank you very much.